Well, good morning, everyone, and again, glad to be with you. I hope truly that last song that you can sing, Jesus is the anthem of your heart, because that's where Jesus really needs to be, isn't it? You know, in our hearts, close to us, and we acknowledge him through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we do want to glorify him, and great to be able to be reminded and to sing that and just to concentrate and worship God in that this morning. Let me bow with you in a word of prayer. God, we do thank you today, for you are a good God, and Jesus, you are the center of our heart. You are our anthem. You are the one who we strive day by day to make sure that you are the solid rock on which we stand. So God, in these brief moments and in our separation, yet close together in our different dwelling places, God, would you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts, encourage us, strengthen us, and help us to, again, just take another step to put Jesus at the forefront of our lives. So God, thank you for that honor this morning, and thank you that we could sing our worship to you, and now we can open up your word to our hearts and our lives. So thanks, Jesus. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to go back into Colossians this morning for two verses, Colossians chapter 3. If you have your hard copy or your digital Bible, you can turn there. And I want you to remember again, verse 17 in chapter 3 is a key verse. And it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That's so important to have that theme in our lives, that the centrality of that verse, that whatever we do in word or deed. So really, when you capture that, it really means our entire life, that we would live life with God's presence and know that his presence is in us, know that we are filled and full of the Holy Spirit, and that we would live life with that mindset, that we would be happy, that we would be glad in our heart, that we would have joy in our heart, that we would have peace in our lives. Remember last week, if you were with us online or you listened to the sermon later, we remember from John 15, as we abide in Christ, that Jesus said that the joy of him would be in us and that our joy would be made full. You see, that's the kind of lifestyle that we can live and we can experience, because we know that even though we might have hard times or anxious times or stressful times in our life, that God helps us through them all with that deep-seated joy, because we've understood that as we live our lives in our speech and our actions, that every day when we get up, we're living that life that's being done in the name of Jesus. You know, there's a great opportunity right now with the circumstances we find ourselves in, that we can actually assist those in need. We can reach out. We can touch even our neighbors' lives. You know, we want to keep safe ourselves and keep our distance and stuff like that. But when we see opportunity to be Christ to others, that we would take opportunity right now to serve people. I got a quote given to me. You may have saw it on Facebook or somewhere. But it says this, and it's a picture of a church in a prairie. It says, with church doors shutting across the globe, it's time for us to show that the church has never been about the building. We are the church. Isn't that a great, great quote? You know, with doors shutting across the globe, it's time for us to show that the church has never been about the building. It's about the fact that we are the church. The church of Jesus Christ is you and me. We're the people. And I love that, because this is a time and an opportunity where we can show the love of Christ. You know, there are generations of kids that can be affected by what you or I do in our lives today. Whatever we do in word or in deed, lives and generations of children and teenagers can be affected by our actions and by our words. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 20-21, we read these verses. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, don't exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Now, I want to talk, of course, to children. I want to talk to teenagers. I want to talk to parents. But really, again, the context is simple. It's for all of us. Because what's really important, and I'm not going to talk about today what happened yesterday in our lives. I'm not going to go to the places where we would condemn ourselves because we've raised kids or we don't think we did it right or we didn't spend enough time with them. All the stuff that's happened in our life, maybe we've been divorced, maybe we have been separated, maybe we're remarried, maybe there are things that took place that have just been not in line fully with Scripture. But I want to say this, that's not what this is about today. It's not looking behind and condemning ourselves. It's what does my life look like today and in the days ahead that matters. You know, it's a responsibility for every one of us in a family of faith, in a setting where we are a family of believers. You know, it's every one of our responsibilities to act even as parents, in a sense, spiritual parents to children, to teenagers, to be examples and role models. So none of us are off the hook when it comes to this verse, because really in the eyesight of God, God wants us to be responsible for spiritual care of children and teenagers through all the generations. You know, the children's responsibility, as clear as this one verse is that children would obey, be obedient to their parents in all things. You know, really that word obey means to listen to. And it implies a readiness for children and teenagers to hear their parents and follow through on parents' instructions. And the word is used in an action word, it's a verb, including that the action here that Paul is writing about is to be habitual, that it's repeated continually throughout our lives. So when we go from children to teen years, we don't stop, we continue on. And when we get out of the home, even though we're adult children, we still honor our parents by listening to their guidance and their wisdom. You know, there's two things that Paul says to do for children and teenagers to obey their parents. Number one, he says in all things or in everything. So what he is saying that in the Christian context that he's presupposing here, he's thinking that the parents here in the home are being lived in the attitude of Christ-likeness. But regardless of where our home is, because we may be a child or a teenager here who is not being brought up in a godly home. But there's still a responsibility on us, regardless of our home life or our situation or the faith of our parents that's there or not, we are still called by God to honor and obey our parents. Number one, it says, of course, in everything. There's nothing you can separate, because in everything we honor our parents. But number two, it says it's because it's pleasing to the Lord. And you know, you look at the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment of promise was the first one of promise, and it says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And could I say to any kids or any teenagers that are listening here today, if I could just direct a thought to you, can I tell you that the Bible and God are yours, that God loves you and God created you, and God, even before your parents, is foremost your heavenly Father, and he cares for you. And faith is not just about what your parents have. Faith is about you having faith to believe that Jesus loves you. I would call kids, teenagers, have an act of faith. Don't leave it till a day when you become an adult and then all of a sudden the magical switch comes on. No, as a child and as a teenager, seek after God, because God says if you do, you'll find him and you can know God. And read the Bible, because it's God's gift to you to show himself to you. And it's not just about, it's not just a book. It's God writing his story and who he is in there so you can know him. You know, if you can't read and you're a small child, then moms and dads, read the Bible to your children. Get them to know who God is. And I love that kids can sing. You know, we come to church, that kids would sing and that they can praise God and they can give thanks to God. And you know, a couple of Sundays ago on the chat on our online service, one of the moms put down on there that that her kids had asked her to come and dance with them during the singing. And what a great picture of a genuine childlike faith to just worship and dance and sing before God. And you know, the Bible is clear and Jesus is clear in saying that we should be like children in our faith. We should be like that with God no matter what age we are, that we would have that ability to just be able to rejoice and sing and praise and give thanks to God and to celebrate who He is in our life. You know, kids, teenagers, it's important that you pray and you get to know God. It's like having a conversation with God. And it's also important to know that you can have the faith to pray for others. You know, you can actually put your hand on somebody and pray for them and they can be healed. I remember my classic example of my son who was a young boy. And he was roughly about 5 years old. And me and another guy were working on our car. And we went out, we started working on a car because it wouldn't start. And we were doing it for, you know, about an hour laboring. And we couldn't solve the problem. We couldn't figure it out. And we were frustrated. So we finally said, let's take a break. Let's go in and get a cold drink. And then we'll come back to it. We had gone in and got a cold drink of water, and we're just going to come back out. And my son stops us and says, you know, did you pray? And we kind of sheepishly looked at each other, and we said, no. And we asked him, would you pray for us? And so Cam prayed the simple childlike prayer and said, God, would you help them to fix the car, and would you let the car start? So we walked outside, and we immediately sort of looked and said, well, let's get at it. And we went to go into the motor and to start investigating some further stuff. And something stopped us, and we got, well, this is ridiculous. We just had a little boy pray for us and ask God to let the car start, and we're going to actually start working on it. So we stopped what we were doing, and we quickly went in, sat in the car, and the engine started immediately. That's childlike faith. And you don't have to be an old, mature adult to have that kind of faith. Sometimes children and teenagers, you have a faith because it's fresh and it's new. And God honors and hears you and wants to respond to you because of your faith and trust in Him. You know, God entrusted your parents with your life. They've got a huge responsibility for you. And you know, it's really in your best interest to make sure that it goes well for them, that you love them and respect them, and that you obey, listen, and allow them to guide your life. You know, allowing them to guide your life really does show that you trust God to guide your life, because God has given him that responsibility to them to care for you. You know, the second part of that says to fathers, you know, don't exasperate your children so that they'll not lose heart. You know, fathers, again, if you remember for the context of Colossians here, that husbands or fathers, really everything else in the house was like property in that day and age. And Paul is not refuting that, but what he is doing is bringing the Christian context into the relationships. And what is happening here is that even though he's mentioning fathers, you know, really, women are certainly not excluded from this kind of thing and responsibility for their children. And dad's, of course, giving overview to the home. But if you look at Solomon, for instance, in Proverbs chapter 31, when he talks about the virtuous wife or the noble woman, you know, he brings in that whole element of how the wife was responsible for her children and for her home. Now, it's really possible that the broader thought of parents is used here, and it's not just fathers that Paul is actually referring to. You look into the book of Hebrews, and the Greek word used for Moses' parents was actually the same word that's used here for fathers. So it's very certainly a context that meant both the father and the mother. But regardless of that, this text really applies to all fathers, mothers, and even to us in the church for children and teenagers in the family of God. You see, the whole idea here is that fathers or parents or all of us don't use authority over kids in an ungodly way. You and I both know that in our world today, that kids are abused, that kids are used for selfish purposes. And even in family life, when families are torn apart, kids are seldom in consideration of something that would be important to keep the family together. But in our day and age, I think it's important that we don't use authority over kids to harm them, abuse them, or hurt them, or lead them down a path that's away from God, but that we would love them and care for them and encourage them and guide them in a godlike manner. You know, it's important that we, as parents, are in agreement in our home. If there's two of you, that you be in agreement in the way that you discipline and how the child is brought up. It's also important that when you talk to your children or your teenagers, that you keep your word. Don't say to them what you won't follow through on. And the classic example is telling your child if they don't do something that you're going to ground them for their whole life. Well, you're probably not going to do that. So make sure whatever you say, you follow through so they know that they can trust what you're saying is valid. Paul really is saying here too that we don't want to bring our kids up in a point where they're going to be in resentment of us or discouraged in life because they might feel that they could never please us. It's important to really guide and structure and model life for them in a proper way. And don't let the pressures and demands of our lives be taken out on our kids. Let's keep in mind how important our relationship is to each other. When you're in a home and there's two parents, you know, how you treat each other is so important to how children will grow and mature in relationship. And how we as a body of Christ or as a family of God, how we treat each other is going to speak volumes to children and teenagers. And too often we forget that we're being examples and models of how to live a proper, godly, and healthy life and relating to other people because we forget. And when we get angry or discouraged or bitter or offended by each other, we can often just be self-centered in those moments and take out our frustration on others and forget that we're being an example to children and teenagers. It's important that we model Christ in our home. It's important that we model Christ within the church family. And dads, do you know that how you treat your wife and how you treat other women of the opposite sex is how that your kids are going to know how to be treated or to be accept treatment from others. In other words, your daughters are going to know what it's like for a godly man and how he would treat his wife. She's going to know how she ought to be treated when she's older. And the same goes for the boy. The boy will begin to understand, this is how I ought to treat a woman properly. You see how this works? And the same thing goes for moms. And the same thing goes in the family of God. If we would treat each other and honor each other and respect each other, and even through difficulties, not lose that respect for one another in Christ, then our children and our teenagers will grow to know how they ought to respond to others in their life. Parents, church family, we've been given a responsibility to love and to guide our kids and teens to Christ. If you look back into the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6, God told Israel this. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You see, it was really important to God that his people, Israel, would have God at the forefront of their lives and in their homes and in their community. It was important that God was number one and that everything else flowed out of that relationship with God and within the home. You know, in the Old Testament, when miraculous things happened with Israel, like the crossing of the Jordan River, the tribe set up pillar rocks, not small ones, but big pillar rocks, and as a reminder of what God had done in bringing them into the promised land. And in the New Testament, the reference is that we are all living stones, that we are these examples of what God has done. And when we have Christ in our life, and God is our Father, and when we have this relationship with Him, that out of that relationship should flow that people can look to our lives and say, you know what? That's just something incredible. Like, how do they do this? How do they face this adversity? How do they love somebody when they've been treated wrongly? How do they do that? And people, we can tell people, you know what? It's because God has done so much for me, and His Spirit is in my life, and His Spirit allows me to live my life in this manner. You know, really what, as parents, as a church family, we want to do is we want to see deep spiritual roots go down in a person's life for a firm foundation, and those deep roots go down into fertile soil. We don't want to discourage children. We don't want to discourage teenagers, but we want to build them up, and we want them to know how much God loves them. As parents, as church parents, we are all called to build our lives and our homes on Christ and our church on Christ, that we would teach Christ, we would model Christ, we'd guide our family in this. We all want the best for our children and for our teenagers. We want to make sure that they have the best in life, but we have to make sure that Christ is the highest value in our own life and in the life of our marriage and our home and our church. You know, we all make opportunities for our kids to, you know, profit in life. We you know, give them lessons, musical or other types of lessons. We provide for them. We clothe them. We give them, Nintendos or Xboxes and all these different things. And we get them involved in clubs, and we do all these things for our kids' benefit, and we want them to look into the future, and when they get to be adults, that they have a lot of stuff in their life to be able to do well in life. But in making opportunities for our kids, let's make sure that Christ isn't just a piece of their life, that He's just not another component to all the things that we give them in life. Let's make sure that Jesus Christ is their life, is the center of the life, is the value of the life, that in Him, as you build a foundation in their faith, and as we build that foundation of faith, and as we grow and they grow in faith, that life is centered around Christ, and that everything else in their life becomes a piece of Christ and not just another piece, that He's another piece of life. We should all pay heed to this. It's so important that in all of our lives, because as whether you're an adult, a teenager, or a child, we all need to get to that place where our life is about Jesus, and then everything else flows out of that. Let's not make Jesus just a little piece of our life, and He's just another piece of all the pieces. Christ should be all of the life. And then everything else flows out of that relationship we have with Him, making Christ the center of our life. You know, I think it's safe to say that our children, this generation, children, even teenagers, you know, there's going to be some interesting times in our world for them. That they're not growing up in the same world that some of us grew up in, or we were children or teenagers once. But one thing will never change, that Christ is with them, and that Christ will guide and help and lead their lives when they surrender their lives to Him. But parents and church parents, family, let's remember that we have the responsibility to make sure that they can stand firm in their faith when they face the times they will face in the future ahead of us. Let's take it seriously. Let's take responsibility for the lives of our generation of children that we have right now and our teenagers. Let's be responsible to see them, and let's invest in them so that they prosper and that they would know Jesus and they would have a strong and living faith. If you are in a situation with young kids today or teenagers in the home, I just want to encourage you, you know, we're not perfect. There's no manual for parenting, but there is the manual of the Word of God. And if you make that the center plan of your life and in your home and in your parenting, you know, you might make some mistakes along the way, but you're going to do well. You're going to make it through. And, you know, your kids will know at the end of the day that you love them and that you care for them. And more than not, let's spend time with our children and let's invest in just having ability to have a good time and a good life with them, and so that they know that above everything else in life, they're the most important thing to you. And church, let's do the same. Let's invest our lives in the lives of the children that attend our church family and our teenagers, and let's see them grow in their faith and excel so they can stand through anything that this world will ever throw at them in their future. Let's pray. God, thank you. I want to thank you that you are a God who is with us, ever present, and you call us into faith, into relationship with yourself, no matter if we're old, God, or we're very young. And I believe that for this generation of children and teenagers, in the representation of our church family and in our homes, I believe, God, that you have a special eye upon them, and that, God, you are going to call them to do great things in this world. So I pray, God, that you would be honoring them by helping them in their lives today. God, would you call them to faith? Would you call them to growth? Would you call them to yourself? And God, would you protect them from the evil one? Would you keep your hand upon them? And would you guide their lives? And Lord, as parents in the home, continue to give parents wisdom, give them counsel, instruction, guidance in their own lives, God, so that they can turn and give that to their children. And I pray that you would draw families together and that our homes of this church family would be represented by being Christ is first in everything, and that, God, you'd be pleased. But give parents wisdom, give them knowledge, give them discernment, give them understanding. God, flourish that in their lives. And Jesus, I pray for all of us as a church family that we would be examples to this generation of kids and teens, that we wouldn't shirk our responsibility, but God, we take seriously that whatever we do or whatever we say, that it would be an example of Christ-likeness. So God, give us wisdom, discernment, understanding, so that we too can live lives that model you and make Jesus, you, the center of our lives. I pray a blessing over every person, every household, and over this church family. God be glorified and be honored in us. And we thank you for the Spirit of God that gives us help. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement to you today. And I'd like you to do something. If you have the ability, obviously you do because you're online with me right now. But if you would look up a song, you could find it on YouTube for sure. But just search the word, the song, The Blessing. And I'd like you to listen to that this morning and allow God just to... just speak into your heart, because I believe that God is for you and that God wants to bless every home that's represented here. So if you would do that and just allow the Holy Spirit to just strengthen you and encourage you today in that. And may God bless your life and may God bless your home in Jesus' name.